reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson assigned for this day is recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter, reading in verses 6 through 8. You find this in the Pew Bible on page 770. Here the Lord is identifying himself as the one and only God. There are no idols of any significance, period. There are no idols, period. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter. You find this in page 1209, where the Apostle Paul is comparing the sufferings of this world in relation to the future glory that awaits us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. To honor the Holy Gospel, let us please rise. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus has the parable regarding the weeds, but this also then in the latter portion, he gives an explanation of what this parable is about. This is also the text for our meditation this morning. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No. lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading for today. If you've been attending for the past several Sundays, you might think that we are in the season of parables. Well, you're right. So we are in the season of parables, and will continue to be for several following Sundays. Most of the parables that are recorded here in Matthew show in picture language how Christ operates in his kingdom. In the parable before us this morning, the Lord tells us how we, who are the members of his kingdom of grace, will be living in a world surrounded by unbelievers. Furthermore, we should not seek to drive them out, as might be our inclination, for these unbelievers are a part of our world, the world in which we live, and our place in this world in relation to the unbelievers is that we are to be the salt. We are to be the light. We are to be the leaven unto them. That is our mission. They are our challenge. This parable is one of a very few that Jesus explains. And he explains this one only because his disciples requested it. Lord, tell us, what do you mean by the parable of the sower and the seed? He makes very clear in the explanation that the field is the world and not the church, as is often believed. In the world, the believers and the unbelievers live side by side to the end of time. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to continue to be. But the message that comes through loud and clear is that the world in which we live is not their world, it's God's world. The world in which we live is God's world, and that we are to remember. But that appears to be so contradictory. When you think of all the things that are taking place in the world in which we live, how can that be God's world? How can God be in control? How can God allow these things to go on man's inhumanity to man, man's cruelty, man's spitefulness, man's greed, man's jealousy. It's still God's world. God made the world, and He is still preserving it. We sing in the Venite, the sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. What a beautiful world it is. Those who have eyes to see can see God's goodness on every side. Last week, our family had our family reunion for the 37th consecutive season at a state park in northeast Indiana. And as customary on Sunday mornings, we have our own worship service out in the open. And I normally have these services, and so I began with the introductory comments of, what a privilege, what a beauty, what a glorious thing that we here should be worshiping in God's great, beautiful cathedral. See the stained glass windows. And one of my six-year-old grandsons spoke out and said, "No, it ain't." To him, this was not the cathedral. He did not see the stained glass windows. And I don't see the things that he did not see the things that I saw. And I did not see the things that he saw the reality. Here, we're just out here in the open. We see the heavens in their glorious splendor, every star attesting to God's might, His power, and His wisdom. We see the fields of grain, the fruit trees bending their branches with the burden of goodness, the berry bushes, the vegetables in millions and millions of gardens. All and so much more are a gift of a loving and gracious God. In this world, He causes the sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous, as recorded in Matthew 5. The Creator opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing in Psalm 145. Even the spiders and the ants, this great God sees that they are fed. There is no doubt the world in which we live is a great world. He created it by the power of His word, "Let there be," and there was. This is our God. Even those whom Jesus calls the sons of the evil one are dependent on our God for food, clothing, and shelter, though they will not admit it. They too are God's creatures, living in God's world. However, they feel no dependence on God to provide for them the necessities of life. "I have acquired it all by myself. My power, my education, my ingenuity, this is what I got. There's no one that gave me anything or provided anything for me." The devil dupes them into believing that they are self-sufficient. He enables them through trickery, deceit, and robbery, and plunder to get more and more than their share of this world's goods. He helps them through evil ways to seize power over others, to make themselves great in the eyes of the world, and even to persecute the children of God, to mock them, to laugh at them, and to jeer at them. Yet the Lord tells us in this parable, don't try to drive them out of the world. Our natural inclination would be exactly that. Let us drive them out of existence. Get rid of the evildoers. All haters of God and all the unrighteous workers of iniquity, let us eliminate them. They don't deserve to live with good people like you and me. They are beasts. Let them die as beasts. Are we afraid of the evildoers? We need not be. God is able to save us against all odds, as he saved David from the lion's mouth. He saved the three men in the fiery furnace. He saved Jonah from the belly of a fish. Prison doors swung open. Peter escaped to continue serving the Lord. Paul faced perils in the city and in the wilderness. A night and a day, he was adrift at sea, 2 Corinthians 11. Has the hand of the Lord been shortened in 2017? Are we to say that God cannot do today what he did here in the Old Testament days, as well as also New Testament time with the Apostle Paul? Are we to say that God will not save his people, will not spare his people, will not provide for his children? Is God's power limited today? Or is it any different today than it was in the Old Testament and New Testament times? God is still God, today as yesterday, and God is still God tomorrow and all our tomorrows that lie ahead. The Psalms are full of assurances of his help. Psalm 31 is a prayer for help against the wicked. The psalmist ends on a positive note. He says, the Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord. And Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Take courage. You are living in God's world. He is preserving it, and he will continue to preserve it in spite of all the things that are going on. I know. And I understand that when we look around and we don't have to look far, that it appears that the world is going to rack and ruin. Wars, rumors of wars, killings of all types in all places, Christian persecutions, Christians being executed, Christians without a homeland, citizens without a homeland as well, unrest of people and the lack of civility. Many families are split over ideological values, and the litany can go on and on in terms of the conditions in our environment, the world in which we live. It appears that no one other than the greed of humankind is in charge. Remember, this is still God's world, and he will allow man to destroy himself if that is man's desire and goal. Recall the sufferings of the children of Israel. The Old Testament world was in a bad place at many different times, but ultimately God punished the evildoers, and God God saved his children. We need to say, Luther, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. Why not? Because Christ has already won the victory for us. He gave us the word that he used so effectively while he was living here on earth. That word is also powerful in our confrontation with the children of this world. We have to live with them. We have no choice. We have to live with them. The Lord has made that clear. And all the while, they will attempt and they will try us to and encourage us to join them in their way of life. But we remember again and again that we are living in God's world. And with his help, we can resist them, leaving to him to punish them for their evil deeds. That's not our task. I will repay, says the Lord. The day is coming when all who refuse to follow Christ, all who continue in unbelief, all who now are the servants of Satan seeking to rob us of our faith, will be cast into the eternal fire. In the parable, the servants are given the order to bind the weeds in bundles to be burned. In his explanation, Jesus says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word fire is used repeatedly in the scriptures to depict the horrors of hell. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you'll remember the rich man being in Lazarus' big bosom as a picture of heaven, prays that he might have a bit of water, that he might dip his finger in water and cool, for he is tormented in this flame. That's the agony of hell. We cannot imagine our loving Lord who loved us to the point that he went to the cross for our sins, the Lamb of God, our Savior and Redeemer, announcing to the people in judgment, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25. Thank God, there is still time to rescue many from the torment that awaits the unbeliever. That surely must be one of the best reasons the servants were told not to try to dig out the weeds. Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. After Jesus' resurrection, the evangelist Philip went down to a city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. Luke tells us, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous things he did, they all paid close attention to what he said in Acts chapter 8. Eventually, many were baptized. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. God works miracles to get his word out. Even today, God still works miracles in order to get his word proclaimed. You recall the history of Saul of Tarsus, who was seeking to take captive all who confessed Jesus as their Savior. When Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and Saul was saved, as a result of that, his Christian name became Paul, who became the first preacher to the Gentiles and the divine author of many of the epistles of the New Testament. What a wonderful, powerful, magnificent gift God gave to the church. And in our way of thinking, certainly in a mysterious way, who would have ever thought that this Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians and persecuted the Christian church, would ever become a Christian and a great proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that saves. God is at work through His Word. We have that gospel. We have that gospel. You and I, as individuals, you and I, as a corporate body in a Christian congregation, we have that gospel which is the power to save. It is the power to heal. It is the power to strengthen the weak. It is the power to keep us all in the one true faith. It is the power to forgive. As Christian people, let us preach it. Let us listen to it. Let us live it. Let us love it. All that in this wonderful world, which is still God's world. God's world for you and for me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.